Calling all fish fryers, calling all fish fryers. Hello, my friends. Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Folks, we are processing information this week, from the newest advances in single-pair Ethernet to how our brain processes information with the help of hypnosis. So, before we bring in Ruut Brink van Den from TE Connectivity, breathe deeply and listen to my voice. You're getting sleepy. Very sleepy. Man, I might have a second calling in the world of hypnosis. So, what happens to our brains when we are hypnotized? Well, a recent study from the University of Turku in Finland found that during hypnosis, parts of our brains start working independently from each other. Okay, so there has been debate in this field for a while now, revolving around to what extent that hypnosis modifies our neural processing and makes us more susceptible to suggestions. Cue guy under hypnosis clucking like a chicken. You've seen it, right? So this new research hopes to shed light on the changes and mechanisms within the brain that cause these strained experiences and behaviors that have been attributed to hypnosis. Okay, so how did they test this? Well, at the epicenter of this new research study is one very hypnosis-sensitive person who has been extensively studied in previous research studies and can have some pretty strong reactions to hypnosis, like controlled and vivid hallucinations. So this person is perfect for this kind of study. Jarno Tumminen, senior researcher at the Department of Psychology and Speech-Language Pathology, explains it like this. Even though these findings cannot be generalized before a replication has been conducted on a larger sample of participants, we have demonstrated what kind of changes happen in the neural activity of a person who reacts to hypnosis particularly strongly. Okay, so perfect subject for this study, check. Okay, so what they did was pretty cool. Using a method that had already been used to measure system-level changes in the brain in various states of consciousness, they tracked how a magnetically induced electrical current spread through the brain during normal waking state and during hypnosis. And what they found was pretty amazing. They found that with a single word, this patient could be put in a hypnotic state, and then what happened was that it shifted their global neural connectivity. In that state, brain activity was sustained, but very importantly, it failed to start up strong coherent activity in the frontoparietal cortices. These changes strongly suggest a move toward a more segregated state within the brain. This research team sums it up like this. The shift from metastable to a more segregated state could explain the behavioral changes accompanying hypnosis. Hypnotic states are behaviorally inflexible. They lack the normal, spontaneous, adaptive reactivity to internal and external stimuli because the brain's specialized modules are not able to synchronize communication. Wow. This research team does contend that more evidence from this type of study and more varied research studies are needed to truly understand how the brain changes during hypnosis. But they hope that their research will spawn new research programs and further theoretical advancements for the study of hypnosis. Very cool. So if you want even more information about this super cool Your Brain on Hypnosis study, including more information about the neural basis of hypnosis and the procedure and stimuli used, I've included a link to their research paper called segregated brain state during hypnosis. Below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. All right, from inner brain communication to industrial communication, it's time to bring in Ruut Brink van Den and talk all about the advancements in single-pair Ethernet and how it's going to usher in a whole new realm of communications. Hi, Ruut. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, hello, Amelia.
So we're talking about single-pair Ethernet today, but before we dig into the details, what does single-pair Ethernet buy me as an engineer versus the Ethernet solutions of the past?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think that we shouldn't only look at the specific Ethernet formats, but look at it from a slightly higher level, the industrial automation system level. And what you see in the current rollouts of industrial automation systems today is that they're built up out of different style of networks, each with a different communication standard attached to it, a kind of a language. Allows machines to seamlessly communicate with each other and exchange information. And single-pair Ethernet technology is designed in a way that over an entire network, we can talk in the same language. All machines can talk in the same language. And what you're doing is you eliminate the need for translation between various communication standards in the older network styles. So what it basically brings you is one network with one language in communication called Ethernet. And that prevents, let's say, users from having to use very expensive equipment called gateways doing the translation between the various languages in the old style networks. So SPE, single-pair Ethernet, enables real-time communication from, let's say, the field layer of the network, from the sensor up to the cloud, in one language and without the loss of information. Doing so, that helps in building a more simplified network and unified ecosystem with real-time and high-speed communication in a far more cost-effective way.
That makes sense. Now, Ruut, single-pair Ethernet has been around in the automotive industry for a while now. What kind of benefits do you see it bringing to automotive designs in particular?
Yeah, that's a nice question. I think we in our industrial environment have been benefiting from developments in automotive quite well. The reason why single-pair Ethernet got started in automotive has to do with relatively high volume environment that is needed to develop and mature such a technology. Companies like to invest in an environment where they can have a payback on their investments. Having invested in automotive and having realized that those technologies are suitable for other environments as well, amongst them industrial, it is really great to adopt those technologies and have them adapted and changed to fit the industrial needs. So we came out of an environment from automotive where space saving, a higher performance, the sheer weight of the solutions was quite important. And we can use those type of parameters now in the industrial environment as well, where it does make sense.
That makes sense. Absolutely. So I've heard that single-pair Ethernet can bring a lot of advantages to the industrial Internet of Things arena. Can we talk a bit more about that? What kind of benefits are we really talking about here?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of them. Where you would need four wires for an Ethernet connection in the old style Ethernet connectivity to reach 100 megabits per second speeds, or even when you want to take that up to gigabit speeds or 10 gigabit speeds and you need eight wires to do that. With SPE, we have a technology that allows us to only use two wires. And with those two wires, with 10 megabits per second, cover distances up to a kilometer. And that is slightly different from what we had before, where traditional Ethernet was limited to a length of 100 meter. And when you would use it with repeaters, you could stretch that to a 200 meters, but still not at the length that would be useful in a process automation environment. The other advantage of single-pair Ethernet is that it is not only supporting point-to-point connections, but it is also supporting multi-drop capabilities. And multi-drop capabilities you see often in today's bus structures, but it was not common in an Ethernet environment. So if you want to upgrade a network to an all Ethernet network and keep similar structures, single pair Ethernet is helping you to do that by having the same capabilities. If you combine that with the reduced cost per node for an Ethernet connection and the additional advantage of taking out gateways to translate between the various languages that are used in the traditional networks, I think it will give you a sense of the, let's say, advantages. And if I need to sum it up in a single sentence, it reduces complexity and costs, allows more flexibilities in designs, and offers a scalable foundation to go beyond previous limits in speed, connectivity, and interoperability.
Excellent. So, Ruud, do you see any other applications or markets being able to take advantage of single-pair Ethernet?
I think we already discussed two of them, automotive as a starter for this type of technology. The industrial markets looking at this technology in certain parts of the industrial automation and solving problems like the multi-language problems that I already addressed. But as you know, TE is a company which is present in a lot of business domains and a lot of markets. We see similar trends in aerospace, defense, military, where these type of technologies are looked at as well, and where there are similar problems of very, very complex systems being built on a legacy of multiple communication standards. And bringing that back into a single communication standards, even amongst different media, like single pair, like 4-wire or 8-wire Ethernet, it is taking away the barriers, the similar barriers as we see in legacy industrial networks.
So, Ruud, where do you see single-pair Ethernet headed in the future?
Yeah, I think the future already has begun, and single-pair Ethernet technology supports more devices being connected to the network, more transparent communication to and from these devices, and it will enable system integrators, software companies, and users of automation systems to create more and better solutions to drive efficiencies in manufacturing. And that is what it is all about in the industrial world. You could compare it the best with, for instance, what you've seen in mobile phones. We have more and more data points where we connect our own physiological system like heartbeats, the step counters, smart devices in your home, my daily agenda that I'm sharing with the other family members. And the software is able to provide us with smarter solutions to improve and support us in daily life. And there's a similar trend in the industry. These type of smart solutions will come to the industrial market, and single-pair Ethernet will help in accelerating this trend as it enables the communication that is the underlying factor there. And then we talk about communications from machine to machine, but also from machine to human.
Excellent. Well, Ruud, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. We also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by, me. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like to further support this podcast, don't forget to leave me a review and 5 stars on that platform of your choice. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 2nd, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.